You don't need special gadgets to be a hero. With unlimited 1.5% cash back on every purchase everywhere, the Capital One Quicksilver Card makes you the hero of every purchase. Whether it's headphones, a lounge chair, or even a well-deserved massage, whatever the Quicksilver purchase, you're the hero. No fighting bad guys, getting in epic car chases, or parachuting out of buildings required. Simple, isn't it? The Capital One Quicksilver Card. What's in your wallet? Terms apply. See CapitalOne.com for details.
Hey, everybody. If you want to tell the world something or sell the world something, head on over to Squarespace, because they're going to help you build the website of your dreams. Say you want to sell some custom merch. Well, you can set up your online store. Whether you sell physical, digital, or service products, Squarespace has the tools you need to start selling online. So go to squarespace.com/stuff right now, and you will face a free trial. And when you get ready to launch, use our offer code STUFF, and then you'll save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. How could you go wrong with Squarespace?
Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you? Welcome to Stuff You Should Know from HowStuffWorks.com.
Hey, and welcome to the podcast. I'm Josh Clark. There's Charles W. Chuck Bryant, and this makes it so fashionable.
I just had some of my notes mixed up, like Criminal Records was stuffed in the middle of this one. Like, wouldn't that be funny if I was talking about abandoned mines and then just like a robot was like, and if you have a DUI, you can call your local police shop and get that expunged.
I think that's bad advice.
Well, no, I'm just saying.
Do not ever call the police unless it's an emergency.
You're right.
Chuck.
Yes.
How are you doing?
Good.
Three today, huh?
Yeah. Day before a holiday, even. In fact, the office is closed right now, and we're still working.
I know. It's like crickets outside.
Yep.
And someone threw a spear at me when I stuck my head out to go to the bathroom.
Good. That was his assignment.
Yeah. So, Chuck.
Yes.
If I may take it down a notch or two.
Okay.
Have you ever heard of a guy named Taylor Crane?
No.
Say a kid?
No.
Taylor is a kid who was 16 years old when he died.
Okay.
He was on a tour of Mexico with his parents.
New Mexico or Mexico?
Mexico. Okay. Old Mexico. And he was on a tour. I didn't realize these existed. But of abandoned haciendas and mines. So it's basically like an urban exploration tour of old Mexico.
Gotcha.
And they were at an old mine site, the tour group was, and Taylor was apparently playing tag and jumped up on a low wall. And apparently on the other side of that was a 1,000-foot mine shaft, which
wow.
He fell into.
1,000 feet?
10 feet across.
Jeez.
Wide open, 1,000 feet down. They had a lot of trouble getting to him to recover him.
Wow.
Because there was so much lead and arsenic at the bottom that it was really difficult to breathe.
Jeez.
To get down there to get him.
Wow.
So you think, like, wow, that's really crazy that Mexico has these open mines. Mind-blowing as it is, Mexico is not the only place. As a matter of fact, here in the States, we have something on the scale of 500,000 abandoned mines. That's the high end.
Yeah.
But the low end even is still, I think, like 300,000 abandoned mines. Abandoned mines. Probably two of the most dangerous words you can put together.
Yeah.
And they're all over the place. The U.S. is lousy with them.
Yeah, and about 30 people die in the United States every year from accidents involving abandoned mines. And I did a little looking.
Yeah, I did too.
Apparently, they include quarries.
Yeah.
And most of these are drownings.
Yeah.
Because a quarry either has water or an abandoned mine shaft, you know, they'll pump out water to mm-hmm. work in it.
Mm-hmm.
And then when they're done, it fills back up with water. So some say crazy scuba divers will try and scuba dive these things.
My dad was actually certified in an old marble quarry in Toledo.
Really?
And to be certified, you had to go down to a school bus at the bottom of this quarry.
Wow.
You had to dive down, go into the school bus and grab something from it. It was like right inside. And then bring it back up, and they'd be like, okay, you're certified.
Your dad did that?
Yeah.
That's pretty awesome. I'm trying to picture that.
I can't imagine anything more creepy than having to go into a school bus at the bottom of a filled quarry.
No, I'm just trying to picture your dad, like, all, you know, scuba diving and adventuring.
Oh, yeah,
adventuring.
He had, like, a buzz cut and more like a big watch and everything. Yeah, he was a...
I guess anytime you're older and you meet someone's father when they're a little older, it's hard to imagine them as young because I didn't know him back then.
Yeah.
But I picture him on the couch.
Oh, no, huh?
Yeah.
No, he was a he carried a spear gun everywhere he went with him.
Did he really? That's awesome. All right. So, sadly, like I said, about 30 people die each year. Many of them are drownings. I think number two on the list is ATV accidents.
Yeah.
Which doesn't surprise me because tool along in the ATV on some, you know, random thinking you're in the middle of nowhere place.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden the bottom falls out.
Literally.
Yeah.
Yeah, those were the top two far and away that I came across too. But since 2001, apparently 227 people have died in the United States because of accidents involving abandoned mines.
Wow. I saw one in 2008. These two guys were trying to get a former gold mine going again because they thought there was still gold down there. Mm-hmm. And they were pumping out water with a some sort of machine with a generator, and they died of carbon monoxide poisoning.
Yeah, that's another, I think it's way down on the list. It's like a distant third, but I think it's being overcome, unable to breathe, asphyxiation. That's the word I'm looking for.
By bringing in your own thing or just by the toxic chemicals down there?
Toxic chemicals or carbon monoxide or oxygen depletion in general from people either trying to get old ones started up or more likely adventuring, checking out abandoned mines.
Let's go ahead and give a tip to people because we like to encourage the urban explorers, which, you know, we've done a podcast on that.
Uh-huh.
But, man, you don't need to be hanging around abandoned mines.
No, they...
It's very, very dangerous.
Yes. I mean, that's just so mind-bogglingly dangerous.
Yeah, just resist the urge. And, like, I have that urge, too, because I love the urban exploration. If I saw a hole in the ground, I would want to go check it out.
Right.
But it's not a good place to be. Not a good thing to do.
So what's crazy is we said like up to 500,000 abandoned mines. And these are just the mines, not mine features. So say every mine has several mine features.
Yeah.
Say an adit, which is a vertical shaft.
Yeah.
Or I'm sorry, a horizontal shaft.
Uh-huh.
And you've got a vertical shaft like the one that poor Taylor Crane fell into. You have all these different mine features on up to 500,000 mines. And the crazy thing is as of February 2011, the Bureau of Land Management, which is tasked with finding these abandoned mines, has only found about 31,000 of them. That means that there's possibly 469,000 abandoned mines in the United States that no one has on any map.
True. But, like, on the good side, they're trying to find them now.
Yeah.
In 2008, they only had 18,000 of them. So in that span of 3 years, they found another 13,000.
I had 12,000 in 2008.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Well, even better then.
Yeah.
And I think 25% of those have been remediated, have pending reclamation, or they say aren't a danger.
They say.
So,
That's just the physical dangers.
Yeah, there's two kinds. There's physical dangers and environmental dangers. And I think, and I guess it's of the ones they found, they said 20 to 30% have physical hazards and 5 to 10% have environmental hazards.
Is that right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Which, you know, it's not a ton, but 20% is pretty dangerous.
Well, a physical hazard is insidious for the local people who are walking around it.
Sure, like falling in.
Yeah, or maybe caving in. And by the way, I found out that any mine feature that is like a hole in the ground, or even like if there's a depression in the ground because a mine collapsed some, they're called glory holes. Did you know that? That was almost a spit take, wasn't it?
Yeah, that's not true.
I swear to God it is.
Wow.
I saw a sign today of an abandoned mine called the Glory Hole Mine.
Well, that's quite a name.
Yeah.
Good for them. Mine tailings you talk about, and this is some of the environmental hazards.
Yeah.
And these can actually be physical hazards too if you're living nearby. These are the remnants of what was going on there of the mineral, and often it can be very, toxic, and then that can either be harmful to you or it can run off into the water.
Right.
And be harmful to people, you know, downriver.
That was my point, is things like adits and other mine features They're dangerous if you're walking around the mine. Environmental hazards of a mine can be very far-reaching.
Yeah.
Because in very much the same way that acid rain is produced from, like, smokestacks, these mines can produce acid rain, and they can also produce acid groundwater. When sulfide minerals and oxygen combine with water, it produces acidic groundwater that can pollute an entire water system downstream. And then also, Chuck, there's mercury tailings are a big problem, especially with gold mines.
Oh, I'm sure.
So, you know, like if you take mercury and take gold and put them together, mercury absorbs the gold.
And you get a rainbow.
Right, exactly. A deadly rainbow. And it makes what's called an amalgam. And then later on, so you have like, you can take little gold flecks or whatever, and now they're like highly portable, stable little things of mercury.
Uh-huh.
And then you take them somewhere else and you can burn the mercury off and the mercury will vaporize and just the gold is left. Well, the problem is that mercury then immediately contaminates wherever you just burned it off and it enters the atmosphere and everything. But those kind of tailings are especially problematic in old gold mines too.
And does that end up in Goldschlager bottles?
Probably.
Is that where they get it?
I don't know. I hope they're not putting formerly mercury gold amalgam in the Goldschlager?
No, the people at Goldschlager wouldn't do that. So Josh, if this is such a problem, why wouldn't these companies clean up their mine sites? It seems like a no-brainer to me. You're there, you do the work, you close it down, you clean it up.
Right.
Make sure it's safe for everybody.
That's how you do it now.
Yes.
Supposedly. It was not the case until 1977, for about 200 years.
Crazy.
People mined, even more than that, people mined in the United States.
Willy-nilly.
However they wanted.
Yeah.
And they would say, well, this mine's used up. I don't need it any longer. I'm walking away.
Well, the quick answer to my question, which I will now answer.
I thought I had answered.
No, is money. That's the real reason, because it's really expensive to clean up your mine site. If you're a mining operation and you can 1977?
Uh-huh.
You can just fold up shop and leave. Why would you spend money to clean it up if you were a company without, you know, like an ethical compass,
right,
and a moral compass? Because, you know, it's going to hit your bottom line, so screw it. Let's just leave it.
You know, I can't help but feel like you set me up by asking me that question and expecting the short answer, because I've never given a short answer.
Well, that is the short answer. 2006 congressional testimony said it would cost $72 billion to clean up only the hard rock mines, right, like at the hard rock cafes.
Right.
That's $72 billion.
Well, the Bureau of Land Management, which we said is responsible for finding these mines and for reclaiming them, basically, they divide mines that they have to deal with into three categories. There's hard rock, which is like gold, silver, minerals, iron maybe.
Yeah.
I don't think they deal with iron. And then there's coal mines and then uranium mines.
Gotcha. Well, I saw on the East Coast, they had a map of where a lot of these abandoned mines are. And there's a lot of them on the East Coast. And there were, I think, a lot of the coal mines.
Oh, yeah. Like there's Centralia, Pennsylvania, which we talked about before, is an abandoned town with a coal seam burning underneath.
Oh, yeah. That's right. Creepy. So they abandoned the mines over time. Land records and lease records were lost, basically.
It's like a reverse foreclosure.
Yeah, pretty much. And so in the end, like, no one's on the hook. No one knows many times who these mines originally, like, who was responsible for this to begin with.
Yeah, and even if they do know, the mine owners can be like, do you have documentation that says they own that mine?
Yeah.
And the government goes, no. And the mine owner says, see you later.
Or
pal.
The other little loophole, you wrote this, right?
Yeah.
That you pointed out, which was if you have gone through bankruptcy, then you can't be held liable.
That is no longer true.
Oh, is that not true?
Yeah. I was happy to find that.
Good.
You now have to post a bond, basically, as a mining company. From what I understand from research I did very recently, that you have to post a bond, kind of like a fidelity bond, that is money you pay in up front that you get back if your mining operation successfully reclaims the land. If you don't reclaim it, if reclamation isn't like the end of your mine, or you go bankrupt, that money's still there to pay for reclamation.
So you're going to correct the article?
I think I should.
People need to know that.
Hey, everybody, it's time you heard about Squarespace. Squarespace has the tools you need to create and sell your own website. Whether it's an online course or custom merch, Squarespace has you covered.
That's right. Courses is a great program. You can start with a professional layout that fits your brand, upload video lessons to teach techniques and skills, and tailor your course with a powerful Fluid Engine editor.
That's right. With Fluid Engine, which is a next-generation website design system, by the way, it's never been easier for anyone to unlock unbreakable creativity.
That's right. And don't forget the commerce side, because after that, you can charge a one-time fee or you can even sell a subscription.
Yeah. So turn your creativity into income with Squarespace courses. And right now, go to squarespace.com/stuff for a free trial. And when you're ready to launch, use offer code STUFF to save 10% off your first purchase of a website or domain. Squarespace. And now a word from the show's sponsors at Betterment. Let's talk about hustle culture, shall we? You know, the whole rise and grind, go big or go home thing. It's a lifestyle that might not be for you.
That's right, but one that your money can handle thanks to Betterment. Betterment is the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle.
How? Good question. Their automated technology optimizes your investments again and again. With Betterment, your money is taking ice baths at 5 a.m. while you get your well-deserved rest. Your money downs protein smoothies and automatically reinvests your dividends, all before you head out the door. Your money is a workaholic.
But you don't have to be, because you've got Betterment, the automated investing and savings app that makes your money hustle. So visit Betterment.com to get started. Investing involves risk. Performance is not guaranteed.
Here's a little thing too called the Clean Water Act, which, obviously you're going to be violating that if you're letting your toxins from your mine leak out into the groundwater.
Right.
Big penalties. But, as you pointed out, that in 2006, there was legislation to exempt people from prosecution who were actually trying to clean up their mines.
Yeah.
Like, I want to go clean up my mine and we're going to exempt you, as long as you weren't the people who started the mine to begin with.
Right.
From, I guess, exempt from the Clean Water Act?
Yes, from polluting, because
from
one of the
accidentally
big problems
polluting
with tailings, in a lot of cases, just removing them,
yeah,
is going to, some's going to slip into the,
sure,
the watershed. And if it's from, say, a uranium mine, well, those, it's radioactive, and
right,
underwater's radioactive, and you're in, you have to pay a huge fine.
Well, is it better to leave it, I wonder?
It's better to not get any into the watershed.
Well, but can you clean it up without doing that?
Yes. I feel like what the government has been doing, the Bureau of Land Management does, and they have a division called the Abandoned Mine Lands.
Yeah.
They basically just build a structure around it, kind of like what they did with Chernobyl, but
right,
on a much smaller scale, where it's basically like, this is going to stay here for a little while.
Right.
We'll just put this around it until it's not radioactive any longer.
Okay.
That's the impression I have of what,
gotcha,
they're doing, at least with radioactive stuff.
Well, that legislation did not pass, though.
No, it didn't.
Which seems like it would discourage people from trying to clean these things up, right?
Yeah, but I also read testimony from this group called Earthworks, and they were lobbying against that loophole, saying it was overly broad.
Really?
That basically, like, if you just picked up a little bit of litter or whatever, you were automatically exempt from the Clean Water Act.
Gotcha.
So it could be used to nefarious ends,
yeah,
by immoral people.
Well, you mentioned the Abandoned Mine Lands program under the Bureau of Land Management. They get funding roughly in the neighborhood of $12 to $15 million a year. And, you know, we said earlier it takes $70 billion to clean up,
yeah,
I think, just a hard rock site. So
yeah,
they're doing the best they can. Over an 8-year period, they cleaned up more than 3,000 mines, which is awesome. But when you've got potentially 500,000 out there, it's a little scary to think about.
So to remediate a mine, you have to address the physical stuff and the environmental stuff. You have to take care of the tailings piles. You have to prevent any more acid groundwater from being produced.
Yeah.
You have to disassemble and carry off any old machinery, any old buildings maybe.
Yeah.
And you have to cover up entrances. But covering up a mine shaft, a glory hole, as it's called in the industry,
yeah,
is not quite as cut and dry as you think. You just put a huge heavy metal slab over it.
Sure.
Problem is when you build a mine, in a lot of cases, you've disturbed a bat population.
Yeah.
When you abandon the mine, you basically are leaving this bat population with an awesome little place to live.
Yeah, a playground, if you will.
Exactly. Now, bats are really, really essential to our comfort and happiness in that the average bat can kill something like 600 mosquitoes an hour when it really wants to, if it's feeling frisky.
Yeah.
So we want to keep bats around. They're already being decimated by white nose fungus, right?
Yeah.
So people who are reclaiming abandoned mines have figured out that there's ways that you can keep humans out but let bats in and out. And so they put on, like, bat cupolas.
Yeah.
Vertical shafts, which is basically just like a little roof that has slats to let the bats fly in and out.
Yeah, that makes sense.
And a bat gate is virtually the same thing, except it goes into, like, an adit.
Bat gate.
Yeah.
Bat cupola.
Mm-hmm.
I think it's a great idea. Because then, like, you're not going to find a kid down in there.
No.
You're not disturbing the population of the bats.
Unless the kid is the size of a bat. And even still, why is he not, like...
Bat boy. That's his problem.
Well, bat boy's fine.
Yeah. So the EPA started something called the Superfund, which basically means mining companies now pay into this huge bank account to cover costs of future cleanups. Mm-hmm. But that's not enough to meet the needs, so taxpayers end up paying for the discrepancies.
Yep.
I don't mind my tax money going toward that.
Hey, everybody. Did you know that Boricua is the name for someone from Puerto Rico? But it's more than just a name. It's a way of life and representation of the vibrant spirit of the island.
Yeah, that's right. It's an island that's filled with adventure around every corner and natural treasures waiting to be explored, like El Yunque, the only tropical rainforest in the entire United States.
That's right. Or you can get swept away by natural beauty and come away with unique stories that could only be experienced in Puerto Rico that remind you of why you travel in the first place.
Visits end, but stories last forever. You don't become a part of the island. It becomes a part of you.
That's right. In Puerto Rico, you can forget where you came from and embrace where you are. No passport required for U.S. citizens and permanent residents. Learn more and plan your trip at discoverpuertorico.com. Hey, friends. As every parent knows, kids seem to be everywhere all at once, and it's really tough for even the most watchful moms and dads to protect their little ones from every single thing.
Yeah, Duracell understands this, and that's why they're deeply committed to lithium coin battery safety. Lithium coin batteries power a bunch of important things around people's homes, including things young children may have access to. So Duracell not only educates parents, caregivers, and medical professionals about the importance of lithium coin battery safety, they also make the only lithium coin batteries with a non-toxic bitter coating to help discourage children from swallowing them.
Even Duracell's packaging is child secure and designed to avoid accidental opening, because they believe their product should provide more than just power. They should also provide peace of mind. You can learn more at Duracell.com/power safely. Available on 2032, 2025, and 2016 sizes.
So apparently nowadays, since 1977, part of the Abandoned Mine Reclamation Fund is that if you are a mining company, you're paying a tax, basically, for every ton of surface coal that you mine and every ton of underground coal. You're paying 31.5 cents for surface coal and 13.5 cents a ton for underground mine stuff. And all of that goes into the Superfund to reclaim it.
That's not bad.
Well, this October, I think, it's going to go down to 12 cents and 28 cents.
Oh, really?
As a tax, yeah.
Hmm.
Times are tough all over for everybody.
Yeah, they are. In 1986, Josh, as you point out, the Department of Interior created an award for mining excellence.
This is like Yard of the Month for abandoned mines.
And reclamating, I think it's called the Miney Award. And all joking aside, it's very cool that they do this because a lot of, you know, people are more responsible these days with their mining operations. They're not all bad. Mining is a vital thing. We're not trying to poo-poo that. I know we did, like, with the mountaintop removal coal mining.
Mm-hmm.
It came down pretty hard. Mm-hmm. But a lot of miners these days are pretty responsible, and they are reclaiming this land and going back in and planting vegetation and trying to preserve old buildings and make those into live-workspace condos.
Exactly what they're doing.
Yeah. So that's great.
Yep.
Keep it up is what I say.
I agree.
And be careful out there. ATV, people and rock quarry swimmers?
Yeah, they're, if you see a mine, stay away. I believe that's the name of the program.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Stay away?
Yeah, it's like, you know, those cartoony posters with exclamation points and stuff like that.
Yeah.
PSAs, that's what they're called. I think if you do see a mine, go on the internet and look up reporting abandoned mines, and you will find a way to do it. And that'll be helpful. You'll save some money. Save some taxpayer money if you report a mine yourself.
Agreed.
If you want to know more about abandoned mines and reclamation and all that stuff, you can type it into the search bar at howstuffworks.com. And I said search bar, which means it's time for
That's right, Josh. This closes out the trilogy. I'll go ahead and start out with Donna Fessler. My husband always wants to call my beef vegetable soup a stew, but it is broth-based. I don't argue. And basically she's asking about this. My recommendation, Donna, is to go check out the podcast Judge John Hodgman.
I was going
to
say the same
because
thing.
Because he has a full podcast on, I believe, chilies, chowders, stews, and soups, and the differences, right?
This is the first one, wasn't it?
It was pretty early on.
Yeah.
Judge John will break it all down for you.
Nice plug, Chuck.
Thank you. Ryan Taylor, question, what time is it? A, hammer time. B, time to make the donuts. Or C, beer o'clock.
Time to make the donuts.
Beer o'clock.
We've got one from Jeremy Glover. Did either of you grow up watching Andy Griffith's show? I think he means the Andy Griffith show.
Yeah, I certainly did.
I did too.
In reruns.
Is there anybody? Yeah, same here. Is there anybody who is alive today that didn't grow up watching it?
Yeah, well, he's asking that because Andy Griffith died today.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
I didn't know he's still alive.
He was, till today.
Wow, that's well, he had quite a run.
Yeah, he was 86 years old. Good full life as Sheriff Andy Taylor and Matlock.
And was that it? Those were his two big characters? Didn't he have a third?
Those were the two big ones.
Well, isn't he like the landlord on Three's Company for a little while?
No, I don't think so. Tanya Chavez, it is my anniversary. Can you do a quick shout out to my very patient husband, Abe Franklin? It'd be a fun surprise. All right. Tania. I think it's Tania. Happy Tanya. Anniversary to you and Abe.
Happy anniversary, Tanya, Tania, and Abe.
Oh, here's a good one. Brandon Nichols, who would you most like to punch in the face? That's sort of like the Fight Club question. Who would you fight? Who would I most like to punch in the face? Boy, that'd be a good one. I think myself many times.
Really?
Yeah.
That's very much like Fight Club.
Actually, I got someone else, but I can't say. I think you know who it is.
Oh, yeah.
I'd like to punch him in the face.
Yeah.
You got anyone?
I'm not saying anything.
You're not going to say anything. So that was kind of a cop-out.
Yeah.
Vitaly says, would you rather fight 100... duck-sized horses or one horse-sized duck? I love these questions.
One horse-sized duck. I would go for the one horse-sized duck because you get like a sharpened stick in its neck. It's over and done with. It's kind of like that garage full of guided missiles up in space.
Yeah.
You take one out, you take 10 out. If you got like 100 duck-sized horses coming at you, they're going to get the best of you.
Yeah, plus that's just creepy, man. Can you imagine 100, like, one-foot-tall horses coming after you?
I find the horse-sized duck creepier.
Yeah, I don't mind that. Okay. That's some good eating, too.
Oh, yeah.
Micah?
Mia?
Mia. Mia Paul Cannell says,
Mia
how...
or Maya?
Maya says, how is Atlanta really? Quality of life, would you recommend it? I would. I love Atlanta. I'm from here, and I moved back here for a reason. Josh, do you like Atlanta?
Sure, Atlanta's great.
Atlanta's great. Robert Casey, is Jerry as smoking hot as we think she is? And more, my friend. That's all I'm going to say about that. Have you ever gotten a threatening listener mail from Nathaniel Yeager? No, nothing threatening.
I have.
Really?
Yeah.
Like physically threatened?
No, menacing. How about that?
I've gotten a couple of little crazy ones, but never menacing.
Got
you
menacing.
Care to share?
No.
Okay.
I don't want to set anybody off.
How about one more?
Okay, let's see. Why is cilantro so divisive? From Heidi Wells. Good question, Heidi Wells.
That is a good one.
Cilantro, the herb, also uh-huh. known as coriander, or Chinese celery, I believe, in some quarters.
Or cilantro.
Yeah. That was pretty good.
Thank you.
Is divisive because it strikes different people's tongues differently.
It's really big time, right?
Some people, cilantro is a glorious herb, including me.
And me.
I love cilantro.
Me too.
To other people, it tastes very much like soap.
Yeah, my friend says that.
And there is actually, if you're interested, a video on WebMD that addresses this question. And if you watch very closely, the filmmaker, who is a friend of mine, who I know through Yumi, put in a moment where he takes a thing of palm olive and puts it over a taco. And it happens just for a second. But it's pretty brilliant once you...
It was just funny looking?
Yeah. It's like, did he just put soap on a taco?
Yeah.
There you go.
Well, here's what I have to say. I feel sorry for people who have that taste reaction.
Oh, I do too.
Because cilantro to me is one of the great, great things on food and some drinks.
Yes.
I put a little cilantro in margaritas from time to time.
So good.
It's really nice.
And a couple slices of jalapeno.
Mm.
Yeah.
All right. I'm hungry and thirsty.
I am too, man. Let's go eat some guacamole.
Yay.
If you have questions for Chuck and I, you can tweet to us at SYSK Podcast. You can join us on Facebook.com/StuffYouShouldKnow, or you can send us an email to StuffPodcast@Discovery.com.
For more on this and thousands of other topics, visit HowStuffWorks.com. Brought to you by the reinvented 2012 Camry. It's ready. Are you?
Hey, everybody. Are you thirsty? Well, sip on pure, refreshing Richard's Rainwater. Yes, it's really rain. Caught clean before it hits the ground. Rain is naturally pure, so there's no need for harsh chemicals or additives. Richard's Rainwater contains no chlorine, no forever chemicals, no microplastics, no nothing. Enjoy the smooth, clean taste of Richard's still rainwater or the long-lasting and cold-pressured bubbles of Richard's sparkling rainwater. Visit richardsrainwater.com to find a retailer near you. That's richardsrainwater.com. Sip the sky.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. It's a simple truth. No matter who you are, mental health challenges can affect you, and how you manage them can make all the difference. That's why everyone should have access to mental health support that meets them where they are and helps them get through. BetterHelp provides online therapy on your schedule. It's flexible, simple to use, and more affordable than in-person therapy. Connect with a licensed therapist selected just for you. Learn more at BetterHelp.com. That's BetterHelp.com.